Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13 and the parable of the sower. We took a break last week as we thought about the day of Pentecost, but we're going to return to our series in Matthew 13. And let me just read verses 20 and 21. So Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So there's a great picture here in this parable. And it's a picture of what's happening now. Seed, the word of God, the gospel is being sown into our lives. And this great picture has and holds out some great possibilities. The possibility that this seed, if it falls in good soil, if it's received, will produce a massive harvest in our lives, a hundredfold maybe what was sown. And that harvest is the coming of the kingdom of God into our lives. It is resurrection. It is new creation. But there's a great question which is at the heart of this parable. And the great question is, well, what kind of soil are you? Because as Jesus tells this story, he talks about four different kinds of soils. Some of the seed falls on the path. That's one kind of soil, one kind of person, one kind of heart. Some seed falls where there is a little bit of soil, but it's very shallow, like a lot of land was in that part of the world. Some of the other seed falls where there's good soil, but there's plenty of plants there already. It's full of weeds. And then the fourth type of soil is the good soil. And what's so scary about this passage is only that soil, only one in four, produces this lasting, wonderful harvest. So what we're doing at the moment then is having sort of set the scene around this parable and talked about the seed and talked about the harvest. Now we're coming to the heart of it and we're talking about the soil. What kind of soil are you? What sort of heart have you got? And last time we thought about that soil that fell on the path and we talked about how naturally we are all hard-hearted. And if you've got a hard heart, then the seed never penetrates. It sits on the surface and it gets snatched away. Never has an effect. And so even though you're here and even though you're hearing, because the heart is hard, there's no harvest. There's no growth. There's no life. There's no progress. It's just like a rock. So that was last time. But also last time we stressed how the promise of the gospel is that God himself will take away our heart of stone and he will give us a soft heart, a beating heart, a living heart, a heart of flesh that is open to him. But that was last time. Now this week I want to come to the second type of soil. It's there in verses 20 and 21. It's the type that we read. And it's the soil that has got no depth to it. It's the shallow soil, the rocky soil. And what it's describing here, what's being talked about, is someone in when just the word maybe it's received, but it doesn't go down deep. It's not just lying on the surface, it's in there somewhere. It's touching somebody's lifestyle, perhaps. But there are no roots that go down into the very depths of a person. So that's our subject for today. And that's the great question for today. Are you that kind of soil? When the word falls on you, you don't reject it. You receive it, but it's not really a matter of the heart for you. The roots don't go all the way down. It doesn't grip you in the very depths of your being. It's just church. It's just religion. It's just Sundays. That's the sort of thing that we're talking about. A shallow soil where the seeds and the roots don't go down deep. Right, so that's the subject. Disturbing, isn't it? Okay, let's think about it. And hopefully we'll move from a point of being disturbed to getting some real clarity about where we're at and the way ahead. Because that's the purpose of this, isn't it? Okay, so first thing I want to point out is that this is a very relevant type of soil. It's a very relevant question. And it's relevant to us because we live in a day, in a culture, where actually we all of us, all the time, tend to live on the surface of just about everything. You know, we live in a day when image is everything. You know, we're very concerned about what people think or what people perceive. And basically, our bottom line is, if it looks okay, then it is okay. And we spend our energy on appearances. We spend our focus, our time. We just want it to look right. And we want people to accept us. And we want people to be pleased with us. And so image is everything. If it looks okay, it is okay. Not only that, but actually we live in days where we struggle with anything that's too deep. It's almost like we're afraid of the depths of what might lurk within. We're worried about what might be down there. What might happen if we really opened the lid? We're worried about the monster within. And we'd much rather just keep things light and keep things on the surface and keep the show on the road and just try and keep a lid on those deeper, darker things maybe, those fears, those anxieties. It's not easy to do. You'll find they'll break out eventually. But generally speaking, we just try to keep a lid on it. And if we can get through the year or many years like that, well, okay. They're going to break out eventually. But that's the days we live in. We're afraid of the depths. Now, that makes this type of soil very relevant to us because that comes naturally to us. You're in that sort of atmosphere. If that's the air we're breathing day by day, well, it's quite hard, you know, to let the word go deep within us. It's quite hard to sit in church and really open yourself up to God. Even harder to come to a prayer meeting where there's really nothing but you and God. And to know what it is to be searched by the word. Have you ever had that experience? Where you've been searched and you've discovered things about yourself and it's been difficult. You know, it's hard for us because that involves making ourselves vulnerable. And we don't like to be vulnerable, do we? So that's the first point. This is a relevant issue. None of us should think this is not to do with me because all of us will, this will be a reflex simply because you're from this time and this place. Keeping things on the surface comes naturally to us. And we've got a lot of different mechanisms to keep a lid on what's in there and keep anything from making us vulnerable. So that's the first thing. It's relevant. Now, the second thing to say is that this type of soil is quite hard to spot. You know, some plants are amazing. If you come to our house, we've got a little garden. In the back of our garden, there used to be a playhouse. Then it was a wood store, and it got so rotten, we cleared it all away. And we said, what should we put there? I said, well, let's just gravel it. So there's a corner of our garden that's just a big, I don't know, not big, you know, 6 feet by 8 feet square of pea gravel. And it was a bit of a mistake because what we succeeded in doing was building the biggest kitty litter in Grangetown. And so we have lots of visits from lots of cats. So we don't sit up there very often for obvious reasons. But if you do, and occasionally I do, I'll sit out there if it's not raining, if it's warm, I'll sit out there in the mornings, have a cup of coffee. So I'll sit out there, and when you sit there, you notice sometimes that in the gravel, I think the gravel's about that deep, I suppose, in the gravel, sometimes you see a plant. Isn't that amazing? There is no soil. There is no possible nutrients. And if you pick at the plant, which I confess I do, if you pull it up, what you find is it'll have one little straggly root sort of hooking around a couple of bits of gravel. But it's got no soil. It's not able to draw on any moisture or any nutrients at all. It's on stony ground. It's in the gravel. And it's grown up. It's got a bit of life. But all the life that's there has all come from within the little seed that it was. It's all come from within that seed. And it's not going to last long, even if I'm not there to pick it out. As soon as you get a hot day, if we ever get a hot day, that little plant is going to struggle, because it's only got what the resources that are within itself, and those are soon spent. And you get the hot sun in that corner. It is quite a hot corner, all that gravel, brick walls. The heat is going to wither it. Now that is the story that's being told here. In verse 20, it describes these people. The soil is shallow, and they receive the word, and they receive it with joy. That's what it says in verse 20. They hear the word, and they receive it with joy. It sort of really fits. They like it. You know, maybe it's someone, they've come to church for the first time, and they actually like it. They've got some friends, some people who are interested in them. A little bit of support, a little bit of company. And you know, this is great. I'm coming again. And they come again and they hear the word. They hear about a God who loves them. And think, well, this is great. And so it springs up. Pretty soon they're at everything. You know, they're coming. They're interested. They hear the word and at once receive it with joy. And so, like it says in verse 5, as part of the initial parable, it springs up quickly. And everyone's encouraged. Isn't it great to see this person? Isn't it great? It springs up quickly. Oh, you love that, don't you, when something happens quickly. Nothing seems to happen quickly in churches, does it? But something to happen quickly, that's wonderful. But the problem is there. The problem is there's no depth in the soil. And the reason it sprang up so quickly is because the soil was so shallow. So it didn't spend the little energy that's in the seed putting down roots. That's what a seed's supposed to do, isn't it? It's supposed to put down roots using that energy. And then the roots can draw more resources, and then it starts to grow up. But it hasn't happened here because there's not enough depth. And so instead of spending the energy it's got putting down roots, it's just shot up. No roots. Because the soil is shallow. And so, actually, everything's above ground. Everything's leaves. Everything shoots. It's all talk. It's all activity. There's nothing underneath the surface. There's no roots. There's been no deep feeling. There's been no conviction of sin. There's been no struggles to believe. There's been no assurance of faith. It's all about coming to church. It's just on the surface. It's all about the friends I've made. It's all on the surface. Now, coming to church is a good thing. Having friends is a good thing. Being welcomed is a good thing. But that's not Christianity. Christianity is the roots going down into the heart. And it can happen, you know, there can be a burst of life. But it's not spiritual life, it's not supernatural, it's just psychology, or it's just sociology, it's just religion. So the second thing to say then is, not only is this relevant, that was the first thing, but actually it's hard to spot this shallow soil, because at least at the beginning, it looks even better than the real thing. It's better than the real thing, it's more impressive than the real thing. Okay, third thing to say is, it only really becomes clear when the going gets tough. That's the third thing. So what type of soil this soil only becomes clear, it only becomes obvious when the going gets tough. The going does get tough sometimes, doesn't it? And we don't like that, do we? And it's right not to like that. It's not normal to like that. You know, it's okay not to like it when the going gets tough. But you know, that is such an important moment. Because really, that's when you find out just how deep the roots really go. That's when you find out. And I think we need to just be very clear, you know, faith is always tested. You know, the struggles of life, that tests our faith. There's always a gap, isn't there? You know, we are the children of God. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus has purchased for us. You, God sent forth his Son to redeem us, and he sent his Spirit into our hearts. We are a new creation. We have been adopted. We are his people. That's true of us. It's true of us now. The moment you put your faith in Christ, that's true of you. You are saved. You are a child. It's instant. Child of God. But quite often, it doesn't feel like it. Well, quite often you think, well, if I'm a child of God, why is it going so badly? If I've got all these wonderful resources, why am I struggling? If God is for me, why is this going wrong? You know, there's always a gap, you know, like on the Underground in London. Mind the gap, they say, between the platform and the train. Well, that's it for the Christian life. That could be quite a good motto, really. Mind the gap. You know, we believe, and yet our experience, it often doesn't seem to match. Now, that's the moment when if there's no roots, the plant will wither and the person will fall away. See, that's the picture. Verse 6, when the sun comes up. You know, we like the sun, don't we? We wish the sun would come up a little bit more. At least we wish we could see it. Obviously, it comes up the same every day. But we wish we could see a bit more of it with a bit less cloud in between us and it. But in the Middle East, you could do with a little less sun, I think. Because the sun is too hot. It scorches you. So if you've ever been on holiday to some parts of the world that are really hot, you'll find that you're looking forward to the afternoon to head out to the beach, and all the locals are shutting the shutters and getting indoors. So you're on the way out, and everyone's going, British. Yeah, what are they like? Are they crazy? You know, scorching sun is a threat in other parts of the world. And so that's the picture here. Here's my little plant in the gravel at the bottom of my garden. And we get one of those hot days every 5 or 6 years. And it scorches the plants. Well, that's like you and me, isn't it? We're believers. We're walking. We're glad to be here. And then somebody upsets us in the church. And we're gone. The sun has come up and we've been scorched and we had no roots. And we were gone. We were history. Well, it just demonstrated that actually we were not good soil. The roots didn't go down. It couldn't weather the scorching heat. That doesn't mean it's okay when somebody's nasty to us. It's a sin. It needs to be dealt with and repented of. And it shouldn't be happening in a Christian church. But it does happen. But if you've got roots, you don't find that easy, but you do deal with it. And you make your peace with that person, and you reconcile to that person, and you move on. That's what roots give you. So we're not talking here about, you know, someone who finds it hard. It's normal to find it hard. You know, even the strongest trees bend in the wind, don't they? And even the deepest roots, you know, the leaves are going to wither a little bit when the scorching sun comes up, no matter how deep your roots go. So we're not talking about finding it hard. We're talking about giving up. We're talking about the whole tree coming down. We're talking about the whole plant withering. We're talking about the person walking away, not just from church even, but from Jesus, saying, yeah, I tried it and it didn't work. That's what we're talking about. That's shallow soil. That's no roots. That's just vegetation. It's just sprung up. There's no depth to it. And the tragedy is, the person who goes through that is in a worse situation than they were before. Because when you've said, I've tried it, and it didn't work, that's like having a little inoculation, isn't it, against it next time. You've had a little bit of it, and it sort of created all these spiritual antibodies. So next time somebody comes up to you and offers you a gospel on the streets or invites you to church, you go, no, thank you. I used to do that. I tried it, and it didn't work. But actually, you didn't try it at all. You tried church, maybe, but not Jesus. You tried on the lifestyle, maybe, but not the gospel. No change of heart. Okay, so this is the third point. You find out what sort of soil you are, really, when the going gets tough. And so that means we must have a certain mindset as a church, isn't it? So It's wonderful, isn't it, when someone comes to church and gets involved. That's fabulous. We take it at face value and we are delighted. When someone professes faith, we take it at face value and we rejoice. So this is not a, we shouldn't be reading this parable and looking around the room going, saying, well, I'm a bit worried about that one. Yeah, that's not what the parable's about. So it's wonderful when someone professes faith, but it's even more wonderful when that person comes through their first setback. Then you think, oh no, there's some roots here. You know, when the storm comes and they bend, but they don't break. Or when the sun comes out and they do wither, because we all wither, but they don't wilt. That's a great moment. That's wonderful. When someone emerges from some storm, having reconciled with a person, or faced through a time of illness, or lost a beloved person, and they're still praising, they're still believing, they're battered but unbowed, they hold on. That's even more wonderful. And you know what's most wonderful of all is when you get someone who has weathered many storms in the church. And when they've endured the searing heat of many a drought. Yeah, that's why we read Psalm 1 at the beginning. Because at the middle of Psalm 1, verse 3, it talks about a tree that is planted by streams of water. That's what we're talking about. The roots go down. We're rooted in Christ himself. We're drawing our life, our strength, our joy, our peace, our hope from him. And then, even in withering circumstances, we bear our fruit in season and our leaf does not wither. That's all Psalm 1. Read it later on. That's when you know there's roots. And it's a tremendous blessing to a church when you've got great oaks like that in the congregation who have been through many a drought. It's inspiring for the rest of us. Okay. That was the third thing. Fourth point. We need to get to the fourth point because this is the good news. And the good news is that all of this shallow soil stuff is completely avoidable. These are not predetermined things that you know, I'm one of them, so that's it, I'm stuck. That's not the message at all. These are like warnings to wake us up. Not to be aware of the missteps you can make as you seek Christ and you live out your Christian life. So the last point I want to make is that this shallow soil thing is avoidable. Anyone can put down roots. That's what I want to say. So the question we're going to finish with is, how do you do that? So I'm shallow soil. Here I am. How do I put down roots? How do I do that? Well, I've got three things to say. Number one. Get the whole story. Do you know, every single one of us tells a story about ourselves. It's personal to us. Maybe it's come from your circumstances. Maybe you've had some trouble, some trauma, and you, that's your story. And that's how you think of yourself. I'm the person who suffered. I'm the person who's experienced this. Or it's come from your family, I'm the person from that sort of family, or I'm the person from no family. You know, or it's come from your culture, I'm a materialistic person, I'm a hedonistic person, I'm an authentic person, whatever it is. We're all being offered this story, and we hold it, and we have it, and it's the story we make sense of our lives with. Well, I want to say choose it carefully, because the story that you tell about yourself is going to shape you, and it's going to define you, and it's going to explain you. And what I'm pointing out really is that the Bible gives us another story, God's story. And the great thing about this story is it's the true story. It's not a work of fiction. It's the true story. It's the authentic story. It's the story of God, who has always been, who is our creator, in whose image we are made. It's the God who has created all that is and owns all that is so that you live and enjoy his hospitality. It's the story of a God against whom we have sinned and we have broken his law. We've really rebelled against him and thought we could replace him and live without him. It's the story of how we really should be judged because of that. But it's also the story of how God in his great love, God himself has come down. And God himself has taken our human nature. And God himself has borne our sins and borne the consequences of our rebellion in his own person. And he's done that as a substitute for us, so that someone can be converted. They can put their trust now in Jesus, who is God come down, God in our place. You can put your trust in him, and you are redeemed from your fallenness and from your guilt and from the consequences of that judgment and hell. You're redeemed from that. And you become one of his children again. And he comes back to the center of your life. And so great is this, it makes everything new. Even one day it'll make creation new. See, that's the story. And that's the true story. That's reality. Now, putting down roots then, first and foremost, means that you take that story like a pair of glasses and you put it on and you start looking at everything through that. You start telling that story about yourself. Not I'm the victim, or I'm the villain, or I'm the wronged person, or I'm the proud person, or I'm the great person. No, but I'm the person Jesus has loved. That's the story you want to tell about yourself. I'm the person who's unworthy, yet treasured. I'm the person who's a sinner, and yet Christ gave himself for me. He loved me. He gave himself for me. That's the story you want to embrace. That's transforming. You know, that sinks roots. That works at the heart level. Gives you a new center, a new orbit. That's the first thing. You've got to get the whole story. You see, you can't just pick out a little bit of the gospel and say, okay, I'll believe this bit, not the rest. You know, it's a package. God is either everything he says he is, or he's nothing he says he is. And frankly, if he's nothing he says he is, what are you doing here? There's better things to be doing with your Sunday morning. Eat and drink and be merry. Because tomorrow you die and this is all you're going to get. So don't waste your Sunday mornings in here. Get as much fun as you can. If God is not real, that's the only sensible, logical position. You can't play with it. Okay, so that's the first. Put down roots by embracing the whole story. It's a great story. It's a redeeming, transforming story. So embrace it. Second thing is you have to drive it into your heart, this story. So there has to be a work of demolition that goes on. You've got to face the monster within. It is there, you know. And if you don't face it and deal with it, you know what's going to happen to it? It's going to grow in strength. And one day it's going to take over your life and it's going to drag you to hell. That's what the monster within does. You can manage it and control it for a year or for a decade. If you've had a good education, if you've had a loving family, and if you live in a nice stable country with a good level of prosperity, you could probably keep on top of it for 50, 60, 70 years. But in the end, it'll break out. And it'll take control of you and it'll drag you to hell, because that's where this monster's going. It's what sin is. It's the monster within. It's not just breaking a few rules. It's a power. It's a force. And it's going to ruin you. So you've got to face that. And you can face it because you know that Jesus has wrestled the monster for you. And Jesus has been slaughtered by the monster for you. And Jesus has risen again the third day for you, triumphant over the monster, over your sin. And so really what I'm saying is, how do you put down roots? Well, you go to the depths. You don't let the culture stop you. You don't let your fear of vulnerability stop you. You come before Jesus and you say, okay, Lord, to the depths. I'm opening up. I'm opening the door. In you come. You show me. I'm terrified about what's in there. You let him in. And you ask him to do some radical heart surgery. And it is radical heart surgery. But he is the great physician, and he's never lost a patient. Never. You open up to him. Then the roots go in. Then the changes start to happen. And then this leads to the third thing. How do you put down roots? You get the whole story. You open up to the depths. Third thing then is you get up close and personal with Jesus himself. He is alive. And, you know, he's not interested in a business relationship. He's not interested in doing a deal with you. He's not interested in what you've got to offer him. He bled for us. Now, people don't bleed for business deals. People don't sign business contracts in blood. But for him to save us, he left glory and the worship and admiration of angelic beings. He left the bosom of the Father, and he confined and limited himself to a real human nature. He was one of us. And as if that wasn't enough, that would be humiliating enough, but as if that wasn't enough, he then lived as one of the poorest human beings. He had nowhere to lay his head. And even though he'd been promised and prophesied, even though he was the creator and he had rights over everything that was, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. They rejected him. And they rejected him, not just saying, well, we're not interested. They crucified him. It's not business for Jesus, you know. It's not just church for Jesus. It's up close and personal. You know what he said in John 12? He uses this same picture again of a seed. But this time he uses it of himself. And he says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Do you see what he's saying? He says, I'm like that seed. What's my job? My job is to fall to the ground and die so that there will be many seeds. So to bring in your harvest, to see you in the kingdom, to see you on the last day. What did Jesus have to do? Did he have to just dig a bit deeper in the miracle drawer? You know, draw on a bit more power, do something a bit more fancy. No, power wasn't enough to save you. It took blood to save you. He had to die to save you. So that's what he gave. That's what he did. To bring in harvest in your life, to get you saved, he had to be broken physically in agony. And he did it. You got to get up close and personal. So what I'm saying, this is where I'll finish, and this ties us into this communion service. What I'm saying is, what we've got to understand is this. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. I mean, you feel that today, that'll sink some roots. That'll sink some roots. And then, you know, when you got roots like that, when you've embraced the story, when you've opened your heart, when it's up close and personal with Jesus, then you have the real deal. And then I tell you what, let the wind blow. You'll bend, but you will not break. And let the sun scorch. You're going to thirst a little, but you will not wither. You'll be rooted and grounded in Christ. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask, as the seed is sown in our hearts today, Lord, help us know what sort of soil we are. But Lord, help us to put down some roots. And as we come to the communion table now, save us from eating and drinking unworthily, taking it lightly, or imagining we can live how we please and then come to church and take communion on a Sunday. But Lord, help us to tremble, to believe, to repent, to open up our hearts, to seek that surgery, the heart transplant. And Lord, grant that you would transform us. So help us today, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.